It's interesting. Sometimes little historical footnotes are very, very fascinating. I mentioned that it's fascinating that the Shulchan Aruch wrote about the halachas of Trumas and Maisras. And that probably reflects the fact that in the time of the Rishonim and the Batan, era of the Bali Atosis, the era of the Beis Yosef, there was a Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, Shalayim and Tzfat and Akko, and thus this became a matter of practical concern. In the end of the 19th century, the Aruch HaShulchan is writing the Aruch HaShulchan. He finished, I think, in 1905, but he started somewhere in 1890, something like that, in the 1890s. And he was a big Oyev Tzir. And yet, he writes that Simon Shin Lamed Aleph, the Halachos of Trumas and Maisras, he's not going to write on, because it's not really relevant to Zman Hazeh. So what's the point of writing it in a safe on Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya, which is supposed to be practical halacha? So he says, I'll write about it. He wrote, very interestingly, he wrote a whole set of sforim called Aruch HaShulchan Osid, where he wrote halachas which would be applicable when Mashiach comes. All types of halachas concerning Eretz Yisrael. So in Trumas and Maisras, he wrote about it, that sefer. But in the volume in Yerodeya, in the 1890s, he said, well, what practical relevance is this to anyone? So he omits it. And this is the very beginning of the realism. The Yishuv that we think of, the first colonies were really date from about 1880. Of the modern, you know, when we look back at the modern return to Eretz Yisrael, it's from about 1880 is anything of significance that takes place in Eretz Yisrael. It's from that era and on. It was such a nascent state that he didn't relate to it as anything relevant. Even though he and the Netziv, they were very strongly in favor of having Dafka and Esther from Eretz Yisrael. They were brothers-in-law, he and the Netziv. And they were big Oyevei Tzion. But Trumas and Maisras was one of them. Spachaychas. In 1910, there was a Yid. There's an Odom Gobel in Yerushalayim. He's quite an elderly person. He's about approximately 90 years old today. And I know him for some 30-some-odd years already. And so he told us, circa in the early 1970s, he met a Yid who was about 90 years old, who would come to Eretz Yisrael from Australia. And he told him that he'd been in Australia, in Eretz Yisrael, back in 1910. I guess he came from Europe, wherever he came from. And as a young person, he wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael. He said the circumstances were so difficult that after a year, he threw in the towel. He couldn't bear it. And he went off to Australia. And for 60 years, he didn't return to Eretz Yisrael. From 1910, 1911, till the 1970. 60 years later, he first came back to Eretz Yisrael. He walked in Machne Yehuda. And he saw fruits piled up till the Shemayim, as high as the eye could see. He was overwhelmed. He said, the difficulty, he said, when I lived in Eretz Yisrael 60 years ago, getting one orange was, you can't imagine how difficult it was. And to walk in Machane Yehuda, the fruits are piled up till the sky is blown away. So we can realize the in that era, in the first decade of the 20th century, and the final decade of the 19th century, the possibility that you'd walk out into the marketplace in Russia, in Poland, in Lithuania, and find a fruit from Eretz Yisrael. I mean, a fruit from Eretz Yisrael, you had enough difficulty finding in Tel Aviv. And forget about finding it in Kovno. Or in Moscow.
Yeah, Esrogim
they had. They had Esrogim. I guess the small number they were able to send to them. They were mocked, but to get Esrogim from Eretz Yisrael, he writes. Shows how much the world has changed in 100 years. Today, we have the opposite problem. We have to be careful when we go to the marketplace to make sure we don't inadvertently buy foods that came from Eretz Yisrael. Chazdei Hashem Yisbarach. It's the wonders, the Rabbeinu Shalom's Nisim with the floods. So I wanted to touch really on two things. Number one, a number of points in halacha which are relevant to being mafresh trumas and maisos generally. And then I wanted to focus on what's really the real problem area, what's most problematic in implementing these halachas, And I'm still working on a solution, and I'm hopeful that, as it's Hashem, that one will be forthcoming soon. I'm hopeful. Now, a number of halachas that have to be taken into account, and I tell all professionals that I know, whatever their field may be, whether finance, medicine, business, computers, whatever it is, I said, I respect the chokhmah deeply. I take great strains not to dabble in other disciplines. And I tell them why. Why am I so painstaking not to dabble in other disciplines? And I said, there's one thing that I could claim to know fairly well in this world, and that's the world of halacha. And I see what happens when people who, where it's not their life's work, come to dabble in it. I see the results. So I figured that if I come to dabble in the other disciplines of the world, it can't look much better than that. So I said, I stand back with a healthy respect for those. You know, if you're involved in the law, medicine, finance, computers, whatever it may be, I have a deep respect for your chokhmah. I'll hear what you have to say. I don't try to dabble. And those that dabble often succeed in being superficial and with little insight into really the sugyas hashas that's lying behind halachas. And the notions that they have are strange, to say the least. If we have in Shin Lamed Aleph Yud Beis, a very, very pertinent, the most basic halacha that we have to deal with in terms of Trumas and Maisos and Chutz La'aretz. Peiris Eretz Yisrael, Sheyotzu Chutz La'aretz, they came to Chutz La'aretz. Amafura Shadin and the Shulchan Aruch. Peturim Trumas and Maisos, they're exempt from Trumas and Maisos. Vim Yotzu the Surya, if they were brought to Surya. Chayovenu, they're chay. Peiris Chutz La'aretz, Shenichnesu La'aretz, and if we brought fruits from outside Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, Chayovenu, they are become mechuyev nikva ulamaisa biyad Yisrael achash nichnasu l'aretz. If certain processing was done to them in Eretz Yisrael after they entered Eretz Yisrael, so I actually saw someone write in the Orthodox Jewish media over the years. Well, Hashem, we have enough Orthodox publications that I could be non that it's non-specific my reference. There's no point in being specific. Who actually wrote, well, fruits from Eretz Yisrael that arrive in the United States are exempt, it's a mefurash in the Shulchan Aruch. His only problem, I mean, if he noticed Sugyas Hashas, he would have known otherwise. But even if he didn't, he should have been painstaking enough to at least complete the study of the Achronim on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, at least that much. You know, you can't always ask a person to realize that he should know the Sugyas Hashas. But at least to, and I have insight and understand, we may be a maven in Sugyas Hashas. But at least the Achronim on the page, one should be expected to study at least that much. So we have in the bottom left corner of the page, we have Tfilat Tzadik, and he makes the following note, and I'll amplify and explain to you where he's coming from. Perish. When is Perish, when are Perish Eretz Yisrael? When are they exempt, should this mark with the Chutz La'aretz. It means if the packing of them was done in Chutz La'aretz, it means they were just, they were not, you know, sent, you know, by the wagon load. They were sent by the boxcar load to Chutz La'aretz. And then you take a whole car, and then you start to pack it into cases and crate it in Chutz La'aretz. In such type of cases, you could be potter. However, I will acham a ruach Eretz Yisrael. Once they're boxed in Eretz Yisrael already, it's the Gemar Malocha, they put them in cases, etc. All the aspects which include Gemar Malocha, but including casing, shuvlo miftere b'chutz la'aretz. They're not going to become potter in chutz la'aretz. Which is a very elementary point in the halacha, and one that understands the halacha, it's axiomatic. If the peiros, if the fruits and vegetables became a chuy of trumas and maisos in Eretz Yisrael, then just because you took them out of Eretz Yisrael, where did the chiyuv go? Chiyuvim don't go poof. They don't disappear in smoke. So it's axiomatic that this is true. But it's on the page in the Shulchan Aruch. But yet, I saw a writer that fruits, Israeli fruits in the United States are exempt from Tumas and Mises, Tavafur Shaloch on the Shulchan Aruch. So it's very easy to dabble and to misconstrue. So this is the most elementary of the halachos, because if we would take the Mechaber literally without understanding the background of the Shulchan Aruch, then if we don't understand the background, we would totally, then that's it. It's the end of the problem. Who needs to take Trumas and Maizos and Chutz Lords? I'm a Furish, I didn't know the Shulchan Aruch. You don't have to. You know, it's a Furish until we start being Ma'ayan into it, and then in fact exactly the opposite comes out. So this is the first halacha that we have to know, is Shin Lam Rala, Psif Yud Beis, and the Tzvila Tzadik's commentary on that halacha. That's the baseline. That's the place that we have to begin. Then there are varied questions about who can be mafresh trumas and maizros. Have a chiyuv to be mafresh trumas and maizros. But who can be mafresh trumas and maizros? I want to ask who. Well, let's turn to Sif Lamed Gimel for a moment. And we'll come to a very relevant question. Chotin shehigia la'inas lidor. We'll come back to the definition of this term in a moment. A minor, a chotin or a ketana, who has reached the age of onas lidor, meaning that the vow that they undertake is halachically binding. Ava bishul heili shtei sirus, even though they have not reached the point where they halachically considered a godel. In Torah, is trumosa truma, and the shachets afilu betruma shel Torah. Even if we are to assume that truma would be minatar, howel v'nidreyim v'akdeishin kayom minatar, because the point is that taking trumas and raisus is making kegdish. So if their spoken word is halachically significant and has impact, and if they make a neder, they need to be. The Torah obligates them to make a Torah Nedarim. That means their word carries halachic weight. So if they makdish something, it also has halachic weight. So if they say harezu truma, and they wish to endow by their verbal statement this grain, these fruits, this wine, with the status of truma, they are able to do so. But this has to be that they reached einas Nedarim. In Siman Reish Lamed Gimel, and Hilchos Nedarim, so the Shulchan Aruch defines what's Oinas Nedarim. And the halacha of Oinas Nedarim is that a male had reached the age of 12 and a female had reached the age of 11, their vows are binding, they need a Torah. So those here.
Isn't that early?
Yes. It's a special halacha in Hilchos Nedarim, Muf Pesamach Leish, that in the last year before godless, the halacha of the dorm is binding. It's correct. It's a special halacha in the dorm. You don't have to be a godel. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says here as well. When you reach einas in the dorm, even though you're not a godel or a gedoyla. So that means once a child, a male, reached the age of 12 and a female the age of 11, they could be mafresh trumas and maisers. But on the other hand, if I need to be mafresh trumas and maisers and I have a child below that age, so I cannot ask them to be mafresh trumas and maisers for me. And it's inherent in the Shach, when the Shach says that they are acceptable afilu min haTorah, that the Shach means that this halach is clearly talking by dinner when Tumas and Maisus midrabbanan as well, which is the symbol, is the Mechaber's own psak. Because at the very beginning of Siman Shin Lamed Aleph, I made mention of this a week ago, at the very beginning of Siman Shin Lamed Aleph, in Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Bizman hazeh, in contemporary times, afilu b'mokum shechziku ba'olei bavo." As we know, not all the areas of Eretz Yisrael, which were parts of Eretz Yisrael in the Bayis Rishon, had kedusha, was sanctified in the Bayis Sheni, and that's referred to in Shas as those areas which were occupied by Olei Mitzrayim, and subsequently Olei Bavel, those that ascended from Bavel to start the second Jewish commonwealth, occupied those areas. Those areas became Chuyuv Min HaTorah, had Chuyuv Min HaTorah, whatever those Chuyuv may be. Certain things they became Chuyuv Min HaTorah, certain things they didn't become Chuyuv Min HaTorah. So he equates this, that according to the Shulchan Aruch would come out, that even in the second bias it was not Min HaTorah, according to the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch, which stems from the following, Because he says, "Afilu b'mokum shechziku ba'ulei bava, v'afilu b'mei Ezra." Not now, not after the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, but even in the era of Ezra, meaning in the very beginning of Bayis Sheni, and chiyuv tumas and ma'isus min haTorah. There's no chiyuv of tumas and ma'isus from the law of the Torah. Why? Elu midivrei, they're only of rabbinic nature. Rination Neamar, is the pasuk writes, "Ki savo mashba bias kulchem," that all of Klal Yisrael, the preponderance of Klal Yisrael, at least arrived. Although bias mitzosin, the Moshe Oisim in Me'ezra, and that was only a minority of Klal Yisrael that returned to Eretz Yisrael, a small minority. So the Shulchan Aruch equates that the halacha of Tumas and Maestros, this halacha that you need bias kulchem, is halacha nechus chalach. And the Rambam apparently equates these two. He equates the halacha of chalom with the halacha of tumas and maisos, because chalom is also this came to rimuata. It's also called trumas, referred to as chalom is referred to as truma, the term. The yesh cholkim. Then the Rambam says that others disagree. Usviru the chayov and achshav eretz Yisrael with trumas and maisos mederaisa. The Rambam passes that, which says, Achle Nohagu Kain. He notes in the name of the Torah, this wasn't the minik to be so machmer, but nevertheless, this is his view. And the Shach explains, Tamayu Oshayach, I time to be as kulchem, the Adchi of Chala necessitates that all of Klal Yisrael be there, or at least the preponderance of Klal Yisrael. And that's as elucidated in Uchas Chala, when you will come to the land. We don't find in Shas that this rule applies. So there is indeed a machlokus between the Machaber and the Ramo. The Ramo is the one who cites the view of the Tur that in principle that the Chi of Trumas and Maisus is Menatar of Manazeh. So that means the Shulchan Aruch himself who says the Trumas and Maisus are Midraban of Manazeh. And the same Mechaber who says that a cotton shigil oinas and adorim, avi shalohibish teisarz benasa godl, in terms of Ramosa Truma, but he obligates, says this, it's necessary that this cotton reach the age of 12 or 11 for a male or female respectively. The Shulchan Aruch is clearly talking, even in the context of Trumas and Maisus being midrabonim, which is what the Shulchan Aruch himself holds. So that means even, no matter what view that we're going to take, even if we'll take the more lenient view in light of the Ramos statement, but nevertheless we still could not engage a cotton less than the age of 12 to separate Trumas and Maisus for us. So this is a very, very important point. Because once a person gets over the notion that in the absence of Trumas and Maisus things are treif, that's the normal reaction in Chutz La'aretz. You know, a Rav Emeritus Yisrael tells me he comes here, and they bring him fruits, and they say, oh, he says this is from Eretz Yisrael. So they're ready to throw him in the garbage, they're the treif. They throw him out, just for being mafresh, trumas, and maizers. But once we get used to the idea of being mafresh and trumas and maizers, it's easy to say, well, listen, we'll ask one of our children to do it too. Well, there are limitations. It's a mitzvah, it has to be done by a child that reached the appropriate age. So this is very important to keep in mind. Now, among the issues is from what can I take truma? Well, I want to take trumas and maizes. From what can I take truma? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, and this is also in Sif Lamed, Chamisham Tormo Ein Trumoso Truma. There are five people that if they separate truma, it's a not happening. Nothing happened halachically. Who are these? Cheresh, Shaita B'Kotten. So obviously, because these people are not of sufficient maturity, intellectually, to be able to do the mitzvah. Oivet Techovim, a non-Jew, Shatoram Shal Yisrael Afilu B'Rishusa. A guy has a guy working in his business. The goyim are astute. They learn pretty quickly. And he knows how to take trumas and maisers, and he's authorized to do so. It doesn't help. And if I take trumas and maisers, I'm Jewish, and I take trumas and maisers for another person, but I didn't ask his permission. Now, this could sometimes be very relevant. You know, I come to a place, and I don't want to embarrass the people, but I also know that you're not particularly knowledgeable about Trumas and Maizes. So I'd rather take Trumas and Maizes without telling them. So this is a problem. I can't take Trumas and Maizes for them without telling them. Perhaps we could find a little way around this problem. But initially, it's certainly a problem, because you cannot take Trumas and Maizes for someone else's things. Avala Torah Mishaloi Al Shalacherim. But if I take what's mine, and I use it as truma for your pears, for your fruits, I raise a truma, then it does become truma. But tikkun perosayim, when I have effectuated resolving the problem of trumas for this person. But toivas halos shalo, and then the Shulchan Aruch goes into peripherally the question that who has the right to give it away to a kohen? I was mafreshit for someone else. So who has the right? The person from whose payer for whose payers are made it, trumas? Or, since I used my money for it, I have the right to give it to a kohen. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens, that's what's called the toivas hanah. The right to distribute it remains with me. Since I put up the money for the truma, I have the right to distribute it to the kohen that I would see fit. The question would be, if I come to eat in somebody else's house, so perhaps the portion that he gives me to eat, and at least as I eat it, becomes mine. If it's really mine before I eat it, that's not so clear. At least at the moment that I eat it, becomes mine. So maybe from that, the part that I'm taking for myself, which he already is in a way giving me bialis for, so maybe I could take trumas and maizes for his things as well, perhaps. But I'm limited, I cannot take trumas and maizes from someone else's payers, or for their payers, only from mine and someone else's. I mean, there are, you know, sof kol sof, we need the realization that when we're dealing with trumas and maizes, we're taking somebody else's money. Good, it's for a mitzvah, but nevertheless, it's someone else's money. So what could authorize me to take someone else's money from? Whatever the Shem Shammai, or it's a mitzvah he has to do, etc., but I have to be authorized to do something. What authorizes me? And this is a limitation that we have. I should mention, in this context as well, in the limitations, that we cannot be mafresh tumas and maizes on Shabbos. So if I bought fruits or vegetables that are from Eretz Yisrael, and I want to use them on Shabbos, so I have to be mafresh the trumas and maizes before. It's considered a form of tikkun, of putting something in proper order, which I am not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So this we also have to keep in mind. So among the many hachonah Shabbos, that's why there are some things that, until they become concrete realities, we don't relate to them. We could bump into them every single week, and they don't mean a thing to us. Until such time that it becomes something, a halacha l'maisa, a mitzvah that we're doing, all of a sudden, it strikes us, hey, I've been bumping into this for my whole life. A person that davens Ashkenaz, so he says Baba Madlikin every Friday night. So he says three things a person is supposed to say Erev Shabbos im chasheicha, just as dusk is about to set in. So we said, Esarftem, Eraftem, Adliku wasaneh. Right? To make sure that the maizes have been taken, Eraftem, that the Erevin, the necessary Erevin for Shabbos, and then finally, Hadliku wasaneh, is the tzivui really, it's what the Mephoshim indicate, not if, he doesn't say Hadliku, but Hadliku wasaneh, like the Neiris. In other words, everything else is checked off, so now Hadliku wasaneh is, now let's be Mekabel Shabbos. So we can say in our whole lives, Esartem, Eraftem, etc., and it goes right by, in one ear and out the other. Till we come face to face with the halacha that we get used to taking trumas and maizes, and if I buy something Erev Shabbos for use on Shabbos, I bought some Israeli oranges, some pomegranates, some peppers, and I wanted some tomatoes, I want to use them Shabbos. So before Shabbos, I have to be mafresh trumas and maizes. So once that starts to happen in our life, then when we say Esartem, it's a different meaning already. It's not the same thing. It's not an abstraction. It's a reality. And that's why we say it, because it's one of the things, just as we can't make an Erev on Shabbos, and we can't be, obviously can't be Madlik the Erev, we cannot take Trumas and Maizes on Shabbos either. Which applies equally, Rabbi Yisai, to Afroshes Chalo. of Rosh Hashanah, challah cannot be done on Shabbos either. So if a woman bakes challah and she wants to use them for Shabbos, so she can't be mafresh the challah before on Shabbos itself. Now at least with challah, at least we have a little bit of a fix there. But this fix only applies to Chutz La'aretz, outside Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. And outside the in Hilchos Challah, the Shulchan Aruch writes that outside Eretz Yisrael, that the halacha is that I can eat the bread, the challah that I made, and after leave over pot from each dough that was made, and at the end of Shabbos, take off from each dough. In other words, let's say I know there was three doughs, so I'll leave over from, I don't know which one is, so I'll leave over from every challah piece. Enough of a piece that I could make a pot challah and leave over something afterwards beyond that. And I can do the hafrosha after Shabbos. You can let it be Meshayer, you can leave over on Shabbos and eat after Shabbos in Chalas Chutz La'aretz. Chalas Eretz Yisrael, it's clear in the Shulchan Aruch, even Bizman Hazeh, where Chalas Chutz La'aretz, we just saw that Chalas Chutz La'aretz, the Shulchan Aruch says, even in Bayis Sheni, was only Midrabbanan. There's no Chiyav Chalas Midrabbanan, because it's not Bevias Kulcha, we don't have all of Klal Yisrael, Olad Masakadish. And, nevertheless, it's clear that since when the Halacha was Minatar, I could not eat, and then be Mafresh, sort of, it's basically it has a Halacha of Tevel in effect. That's the same idea. It's a tevel that could do. Similarly, because when the Migdash stood, I couldn't be mafresh. So Bizman Hazeh, when I'm mafresh in Eretz Yisrael, I have the same halacha as when the Migdash stood. So I also can't be, eat and be mafresh subsequent to that. Which can be upsetting. I was in Eretz Yisrael sometime in the last 10 years or so, and somebody came to me on Shabbos morning. And their wife baked challah for Shabbos, and they realized Friday night that they forgot to be mafresh the challah. So they came to me Shabbos morning and asked me, what's the scoop? Is there anything they can do about it? And he yanti again into the Shulchan Aruch, and I told him, I'm sorry, there's nothing you can do. You know, I guess from a lava malki, I love challahs, I feel bad, you know, a person was my kriyach to make challah for Shabbos, but that's it. They won't be able to use it. So this we also have to keep in mind. This is for us, the most common of applications. I mean, women sometimes do bake challah for the purpose because they want to be zoicha to the mitzvah of Afroshas challah. But we have to make sure we mafresh that challah before Shabbos. That is a very interesting halacha. It stems from a pasuk. Well, throughout the halacha, we always have a question. Which things, in what areas of the halacha is it sufficient to think, to decide in my mind that I want to do something? And which areas of the halacha do I have to verbalize the fact that I want to do something? Now we know, for example, if I want to make a neder, basically, I have to verbalize it, kiyafli. It has to be articulated. But when it comes to nidrei mitzvah, chsam sayf, it's a halacha that's recorded in the chsam sayf in the Shulchan Aruch, but in terms of nidrei mitzvah, machshava also helps. That's a question of beit stokka, machshava could help as well. Now that machshava that we say helps, for example, beit stokka, means that it's a concrete decision that a person made. You know, thinking that I'd like to give $10 to the tzedakah is not a machshava which obligates a person to give tzedakah. Deciding that I am giving $10 to tzedakah, an absolute decision that obligates one to give that tzedakah. So in all the areas of the halacha, we always have to figure out what is the necessary threshold. Is the thought process suffice, or must it be articulated? So here the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Hifrish Truma B'machshavta, this is Sishin Lamed Alef Sif Mem Vav. Suppose I didn't say anything, but I just had in mind, this piece of wheat is the Truma for everything that I have. V'lahotzi B'swasav Klum, I didn't say a word. Harei Zeh Truma. it still works as truma. Why? Shenemar v'nechshav lachem trumaschem. That machshava is enough. V'nechshav lachem trumaschem. The Gemara derives from that that machshava suffices to. The thought process is enough. Harezu truma and thought. Now, it's interesting. The Shach says a meskaven leimar truma. In Sif Mem Hei, the Shulchan Aruch says, if I intended to make something truma, that was my intention, but I stumbled, Va'amar Meiser, and I said Meiser, Meiser, or I intended to make something Meiser, Va'amar Truma, and by a slip of the tongue I said Truma, Omar Klum, then I have said nothing, Achiyah Pivoli Boshom. Now, so the question is, so very obviously, I had the machshava to make truma. So merely by a slip of the tongue, I said meiser. So the fact that it's not meiser, we understand, because that was an unintentional statement. But what happened to the machshava, the thought that I had that it should be truma? Why is it not truma? So the Shach says, the dafka besif memesha kivin loma truma v'omar meiser, when my thoughts and my statements were at cross purposes to each other, shabito b'liv repiv, mashahayba machshavto, that I wound up miswired. The brain was in one place and the mouth was somewhere else. That is ain't trumosa truma. It has no halachic standing. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. They need pivalibo shofen. Das is the verbal expression is also das. How do you determine what a person means, for example, in any business transaction? What he has in his mind is irrelevant. What he expresses. So therefore, expression is significant. An expression which is not backed up by trumas and maisers, or what a person had in mind, so the expression cannot create the halacha. But on the other hand, it prevents the machshava, what's in the brain, from creating the halacha either. Because the two are at cross purposes. There are two statements, in effect, operating at cross purposes to each other. Whereas, if I only have a thought, and I don't say anything, the thought itself is enough to make trumas and maisers. So that's an important halacha, that machshava can suffice for trumas and maisers. I don't actually have to articulate the words. Now what is part of what's mechuyev, I want to point this out because it could be relevant. Well, let's say I go on a trip to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm walking in the forest somewhere, in a public forest, and whatever, there's some berries growing there, for example. So I asked one of my rabbis once about it, if one's allowed to take from such type of things, from public land in Eretz Yisrael, and he said, since there's no intention of harvesting it, and if you're not damaging the trees in any way, not talking in a nature reserve where, you know, you're not allowed to touch anything, but in a place which is not of that type of nature, so he said, there's no Easter to take something, because what's going to happen at the end of this is just going to fall down and fall to the ground and be destroyed. So as long as he's not harming the trees in any way, there would be no prohibition in taking things. So but good. So that means in terms of Easter Gezel, I won't be over Gezel. So I'm walking someplace in a forest in Eretz Yisrael, and I see an apple on a tree, and no one's, the government's not planning to harvest it. It's not owned by anyone. It's a wild apple. So in terms of Gezel, I'd be allowed to take it. But how about in terms of the halachas of trumas and maisers? Do I have to be mafresh trumas and maisers from it? So here we find a very interesting halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. A hefker potter be trumas and maisers. Hefker is exempt from trumas and maisers. Avo, a very interesting exception. Hazareya stay hefker. If I plant a field which is hefker, chayah be trumas and maisers. So if I go to a place, a forest, it's a public place, no one owns it, no one really has bailus on it, it's a forest, anyone can go there. So I can take an apple and eat it without trumas and maisers. But if I go, and there's a field which no one controls, so I go, and when I plant fruits and vegetables there, I plant trees there. So the land is not mine, I didn't claim the land is my own. It's hefker the land. But meanwhile, as long as someone shall chase me out, I'm growing fruits and vegetables here. I'm growing apples here. So, though the apples don't have a bialim, I'm the bialim, I guess, in effect. If I'm growing them, some chayiv and trumas and maisers. That's what the Shach says. The Avo Bisha saw the hefker. The field, the land is hefker. That's true. But Adogon ain't no hefker. The grain which I planted is not hefker. Though Yesh lo baila, I own it. So I'm chayiv and trumas and maisers. So if I go in a place in public land in Eretz Yisrael, where, again, I'm not harming the land in any way, and it's not against the law, so then I can take an apple and I can eat it without being mafresh tumas and maisers, because hefker is potter from tumas and maisers. A very, very important halacha. Now I want to turn our attention to the most difficult part of being mafresh tumas and maisers. As I mentioned a week ago, there are a number of different tithes that we have to take. There's the Truma Gdola, which typically went to the Kayan. There's the Mais HaRishon, which typically went to a Levi. But from the Mais HaRishon, 10% of that has to be taken off by the Levi and given to the Kayan as Trumas Maisa. Now, the Trumas Maisa, which is 1% really of the whole, essentially, plus the tiny bit, which is Truma Gdola, those may not be eaten by a non-Kayan. So therefore, typically, we in Yerushalayim, they wrap them up and they throw them out that way, and when they brack, they put them in a special garbage can and let them rot before they get to them. Okay, very cheap, this is how to deal with it. But that's 1% plus, which I'm not allowed to use. The Maiserishin, since there's some suffix about maybe Trumas and Maisers were taken from this already. Secondly, even if I went to the farm and if I took it off the tree, I have another question. Well, who exactly is a Levi? We don't know for sure. Since we don't know for sure who's a Levi, we have a Chazokah that he's a Levi, that's true. But that doesn't mean that that Chazokah is strong enough necessarily that it could be Mitzi Mom, that it could collect money with that. You know, the second Aliyah can get in Shul, they can wash the Kohen's hands. But money is a different story. Money is hard to collect money in this world, as we well know. So, therefore, I am allowed to, as a Yisrael, I keep it for myself. So that's fine. The problem arises, now Maiser Oni is a similar issue. If it's Badai Mechuyev, that I went to the farm and I know it's Mechuyev, so in the last years, in fact, they've begun some organized distribution of Maiser Oni in Eretz Yisrael for Aniyim. I believe Rabbi Yosha was instrumental in getting this started for the first time. But what happens when it comes to Maiser Sheni? Maiser Sheni is a problem. Really, you're supposed to eat Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim, but you can't eat Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim today, right? The walls of Yerushalayim are not standing, and whatever. There are varied problems. So the shaila is, what do we do? We don't eat Maaser Sheni. So we have to make pinyon of Maaser Sheni. Now, what exactly do we have to do to make the pinyon? That's number one. How do we make the pinyon? And then there are issues after we make the pidyon. There are two different issues. And this is what makes the process so complicated. You know, there are certain problems in life that you fix them one time and they're fixed. That's it. Then they stay fixed. You know, if you have a hole in the roof, so you call the roofer, you fix the hole up, and that's it. If he knows what he's doing, it's the end of the problem. Then the rain doesn't come in anymore. But Maaser Sheni does not lend itself to such easy resolution. And the reason that it doesn't lend itself to such easy resolution is because Maaser Sheni has a very special halacha which is associated with it. And this is described in the fifth parak in Maaser Sheni. In the parsha of Maaser Sheni, we read that what was the halacha? Bi'arti ha-kodesh min ha-bayis. I've removed the kodesh from the house. We'll come back to this in a moment. V'am nisati la-levi, la-ger, la-yosam, va-almona, v'chol mitzvos, pasher tzivisoni. I fulfilled all the halachas, lo-yachalti va-oni, and I didn't eat it at an improper time. So the halacha is halacha of beer. So this halacha, it's the Perek Hei, Mishnah Vov, in Maaser Sheni. which states the following: Erev Yom Tov Harishon Shal Pesach Shal Revius. Right? We have a 7-year cycle of the Shemitah. So Erev Yom Tov, of the first days of Yom Tov, of the 4th year of the cycle, Mishal Shvius, in the 7th year of the cycle, Hoya Beer. There's a din of beer. Ketzar Hoya Beer. So what was the beer? Noisnen Truma Uchumas Meiser Lebailam. We give the truma and the truma's meiser to the ones that are supposed to get it. You know, it means any accumulated trumas and meisers that we have, it's time to clean them out of the warehouses and see that there's a mitzvah of nesina, and that we bring them to the appropriate person. So a kohen is supposed to get what he's supposed to get. So he's supposed to get the truma gedolah. He's supposed to get the truma's meiser that all has to be brought to. Umayser rishon leba'alo, and any meiser rishon that I may have in my possession, I have to deliver to the Levi. Fine. Umayser oni leba'alo, if I have meiser oni stacked up in the warehouse, I have to clean it out and deliver it to the Andir. So I guess, in other words, all of those people, these two occasions there of Pesach, of Revi and Shvi, is a good time. You gotta get a windfall. Now, the problem then that arises is the following. Umayser sheni ba'bikurim is barim b'chol mokom. My Sasheni and Bikurim is Baram Bechol Mokum means that I have to get rid of them. As the Shverjah says, Ma'abdan Me'ayilam. I have to destroy them. Now, Bikurim is a Shailam, what the din is. Rab Shimon Omer, Bikurim Nitnu Nekoyanim Kitruma. That Bikurim is one of the Matnas Kahuna. And therefore, he says, all that has to be done with it is that it be given to the Koyin, because there's a phrase in the Chumash which says, Utrumas Yodcho, Elu Abikurim. And therefore, all I have to do is give it to a Koyin, the same way I delivered the Truma Gedoyla and the Trumas Mais. But Ein Aloha Kurab Shimon, the Rav says, we don't paskel at Rav Shimon. So Bikurim and Mais Hashani have the same halacha that we have to be Ma'abed them in Oilo. Now, the problem is, so therefore, the problem is twofold. The problem is, what do I do with the Ma'is Hashani now? What am I going to do? Am I going to take, in effect, 9% of the payers and make them into Ma'is Hashani? Is going to be a pretty big problem. I mean, first of all, it's an enormous amount of money that's involved in it. Secondly, what in the world am I going to do with them? I'm going to just stack them up and be ma'abed them when this manbir comes. So we find the following. The Mishnah, the next Mishnah tells us, Mishahoyla Paris Bismanazeh. A person that has Peres Bismanazah, meaning when the Migdash is not standing. So therefore, what am I supposed to do with that? The Giyah Shasa Beer, and this man of the beer comes. So what am I going to do? So nowadays there's no Yerushalayim, Shein Kam Beis HaMigdash Kayim, as the Rav said. So what am I going to do? So if before the Beis HaMigdash, so good, so I know, before his man comes, I'll bring a Yerushalayim and use it up. But I can't, I don't have that option today. So what should I do? Begiyah Shasam Bir, Be'ishama Yom Tzoruch L'chalalon Ala Kesef. I have to redeem them on money. And what do I do with the money? Then I have to destroy the money and get rid of it. Shaykh HaKol Matilano, grind it up and throw it into the river, throw it into the yam. Meaning that unen geniza amamoyal achilo. He says, what am I going to gain? Tzorach lechalalon. He says, if you want to get rid of them, you get rid of them as you see fit. So b'tzilul omrim echot shein kesef echot shein peres. Either way, you just have to get rid of them. So the problem is that when the 4th year Pesach comes and the 7th year Pesach comes, I have to clean out all the Ma'is Hasheni that I have. So now, what's the problem? So the problem is the following. The problem is that normally, how do I resolve the problem of the 9% is the Ma'is Hasheni? I do chilul. I redeem it on a coin. And we'll see how much of a coin I need, whatever, we'll come to that next time. The Shulchan Aruch talks about it, the Gro talks about it, the basis for the din in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, to be able to, that in any and all situations, lahalocha, I mean, there are shittas, the Brahman seems to be more meikel, but the generally accepted view is not that way, that I need a coin which has at least a value of one pruta's worth of Maaser Sheni on it. So then I could always redeem, no matter how small the amount of the Maaser Sheni is going to be, I could always redeem it on that coin. If I don't have a pruta's worth of Maaser Sheni, so then I can only redeem the Maaser Sheni if I'm sure that I have Maaser Sheni of a pruta. But if I'm not sure if I have Maaser Sheni of a pruta, I'm stuck. Now, so we have a way that to deal with this problem, which we'll come to, and that is that I get a coin, and I go to the farm, and I'm paying the Maaser Sheni, so I know that I have definitely have a pruta of Maaser Sheni. But this is only a temporary fix. Why? Because when it comes Erev Pesach, or the fourth year, Erev Pesach, or the seventh year, what do I have to do? I have to destroy it. So I don't have Maaser Sheni anymore. So every 7 years, I have to go back to go. I have to start again from scratch. So that's why Maaser Sheni, besides, we'll see, we'll go into the details next time of what I have to do. And it's not so simple. There are any number of limitations involved in it, but beyond that, even once I get it fixed, the fix is only temporary. It's only a temporary fix. Right now, in Tov Shin Samach Vav is the fifth year of the Shemitah cycle. Tov Shin Samach Ches is going to be Shemitah again. So good. So if we're going to make a fix now, so the fix will last for 2 years. But after 2 years, back to go again. So that's one of the problems we'll come to next time, as is Hashem, an elucidation of the halachas of the pinion of the Maaser Sheni. And as Hashem, I will give a live demonstration, even if it's not a parish, so, but how to actually do the afroshes, tumas, and maasers next time. So as Hashem, we'll see what the problem is, we'll see what the resolutions of the problem of the Maaser Sheni, which is really, that's really the fly in the ointment, that's the most difficult problem in terms of the afroshes of the tumas and maasers in Banazan. Good evening, Rabbi Yisai.
Still supposed to take out 30%.
Oh, we don't destroy, we do pigeon. We'll see. But yeah, but you can be paid on a pruta. You can be paid. You can be paid on a pruta. Because since it's not edible, so therefore the halacha is that we can be paid it on a pruta, not a tar value. What? You can use the coin up to the number of prutas that you have in the coin. We'll get to that next time.
I have to go. Today, people ask questions about prutas.